Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. I'd like you to join me as I take a look at the Pope's schedule on Thursday afternoon, when he was still on the first leg of his journey, which took him to the capital of the United States, Washington, D.C., where he had a busy afternoon, beginning with a meeting at the Catholic University of America, becoming the second Pope to visit there. For the record, the first was Pope John Paul II, who visited this prestigious establishment on his first journey to the United States back in October 1979. The same journey then when he addressed the United Nations in New York. At any rate, getting back to Pope Benedict as scheduled, he covered the short distance by car from the Nunciature in Washington to meet with university and college presidents as well as other players in the field of Catholic education from all over the United States. Charles Collins reports for us on this joyful event, during which Pope Benedict delivered a strong message regarding the crucial role of educators in the mission of the Church. The meeting began, as expected, with applause and music.
Pope Benedict met with the presidents and other administrators of over 200 Catholic universities in the United States, as well as other educational officials. He met them in the Catholic University of America, the only university founded by the College of Bishops of the United States.
First and foremost, every Catholic educational institution is a place to encounter the living God, who in Jesus Christ reveals his transforming love and truth.
He spoke of the importance of the Catholic identity of Catholic institutions and pointed out that they help bring students into the Christian community.
A university or school's Catholic identity is not simply a question of the number of Catholic students. It is a question of conviction. Do we really believe that only in the mystery of the Word made flesh does the mystery of man truly become clear? Are we ready to commit our entire self, intellect and will, mind and heart, to God? Do we accept the truth Christ reveals? Is the faith tangible in our universities and schools? Is it given fervent expression liturgically, sacramentally, through prayer, acts of charity, a concern for justice, and respect for God's creation? Only in this way do we really bear witness to the meaning of who we are and what we uphold.
While affirming the good of academic freedom, he said to appeal to academic freedom in order to justify positions contrary to the Church would betray the mission of a Catholic university. Another area of concern for Pope Benedict was the Church's mission to the poor. He urged religious orders, in particular, to not abandon their educational mission in the poorer parts of the country, a message greatly appreciated.
I wish to make a special appeal to religious brothers, sisters, and priests. Do not abandon the school apostolate. Indeed, renew your commitment to schools, especially those in poorer areas.
Pope Benedict thanked those there for all they had done for Catholic education and said Catholic schools in the United States have helped generations of immigrants and others to rise from poverty and take their place in mainstream society.
My thanks there go to Charles Collins for reporting on Pope Benedict's speech at this prestigious university, a speech the director of our program, Sean Patrick Lovett, comments on for us.
I know it sounds silly, but after I heard him say the word three times in one sentence, I just couldn't resist. I started counting. 39. That's how many times Pope Benedict XVI used the word truth in his discourse to Catholic educators. He also used the word faith 21 times, and freedom and identity popped up pretty frequently as well, but I don't want to exaggerate. The point is, no one could come away from the encounter and say they didn't get the point. The prophets of doom went away disappointed. The Pope hadn't excommunicated anyone. On the contrary, he expressed his appreciation and gratitude for all the hard work done by Catholic educators in this country. The faint-hearted went away encouraged. The Pope confirmed the vital role of Catholic education and the unique contribution it continues to make in forming young American hearts and minds. Or, as Benedict XVI put it, Truth speaks to the individual in his or her entirety, inviting us to respond with our whole being. So, why all this emphasis on truth? Because that's exactly where Catholic universities differ from other so-called institutions of higher learning, insofar as not everyone agrees with the idea that human beings can come to know the truth about anything with any degree of certainty. Let me give you an example. Harvard is probably one of the most prestigious schools of learning in the world, and it isn't Catholic. The university committee recently issued a report concerning the revamping of Harvard's core curriculum. The report begins by restating a postmodern notion that claims there's no such thing as truth, only personal narrative. In other words, we're all free to create our own truth according to our own image and likeness. That's where faith, freedom, and identity come in. The nature and identity of Catholic institutions of learning are intrinsically linked to their faith dimension and commitment. Academic freedom doesn't mean justifying positions that contradict the faith or that betray a university's identity. In the words of self-confessed former professor Benedict XVI, academic freedom means searching for the truth wherever careful analysis of evidence leads you. Never were truer words spoken. With the Pope in the United States, I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
And now let's take a look at some of the other events on Pope Benedict's schedule on Thursday evening. In particular, his meeting with representatives from other religions at the Pope John Paul II Cultural Center in Washington. Lydia O'Kane reports.
This institution reminds us of this nation's conviction that all people should be free to pursue happiness in a way constant with their nature as creatures endowed with reason and free will. Those were the words of Pope Benedict XVI about the Pope John Paul II Cultural Centre, which works to promote interreligious dialogue. Speaking before representatives from the Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist and Jain communities, the Holy Father praised the United States' long history of cooperation between different religions in many spheres of life.
Interreligious prayer services during the National Feast of Thanksgiving, joint initiatives in charitable activities, a shared voice on important public issues. These are some ways in which members of different religions come together to enhance mutual understanding and promote the common good.
The Pope then turned to the subject of religious freedom, stressing that being able to practice one's faith is a basic right.
May others take heart from your experience, realizing that a united society can indeed arise from a plurality of peoples, e pluribus unum, out of many one, provided that all recognize religious liberty as a basic civil right.
The Pope added that religious communities had made an enormous contribution to civil society in the form of faith-based schools and noted the great responsibility religious leaders have to imbue society with a respect for human life and dignity. The Pope also noted the growing interest among governments to sponsor initiatives to promote interreligious and intercultural dialogue.
These are praiseworthy initiatives. At the same time, religious freedom, interreligious dialogue, and faith-based education aim at something more than a consensus regarding ways to implement practical strategies for advancing peace. The broader purpose of dialogue is to discover the truth.
During the visit, the Holy Father was presented with 5 gifts of peace, each from the communities represented. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
But the most reported event, which concerns Pope Benedict on Thursday in Washington, was an unscheduled visit, a meeting with victims of priestly sexual abuse. As we know, the Holy Father has spoken 3 times about this issue since he left Rome on April the 15th, expressing the sense of shame he and other church leaders feel about what he called a tragic situation. So on Thursday, shortly after pledging, the church's continued efforts to help heal the wounds caused by such acts, he went to a small chapel at the Apostolic Nunciature in Washington, prayed with the victims, and listened to their personal accounts, proffering words of encouragement and hope. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.